Welcome to Supply Chain Now, the voice of global supply chain. Supply Chain Now focuses on the best in the business for our worldwide audience, the people, the technologies, the best practices, and today's critical issues, the challenges and opportunities. Stay tuned to hear from those making global business happen right here on Supply Chain Now.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Scott Luton here with you on Supply Chain. Now, welcome to today's live stream. Well, we were teed up with an outstanding, big-time co-host here on the buzz. So we're going to see if we can get back the one and only Tandria Bellamy in just a second. But, folks, you're in the right place. It's the buzz. Y'all know we come at you live every Monday at 12 noon Eastern time, where we discuss a variety of news and developments today and every Monday across global supply chain and business. And folks, we want to hear from you too. So give us your take in the comments throughout the show. In fact, if you're listening to the podcast replay, because we usually publish the replay on Fridays that follow the Monday live show. So you may be listening to the podcast replay. And if you are, hey, you ought to consider joining us live each week. Again, Mondays, 12 noon Eastern time on LinkedIn, YouTube, or any other social media channel of your choosing. We'd love to hear from you. And folks, if you enjoy the show today, we would love for you to share it with a friend and your network. All right, everybody. So we're working fast and furiously to get our esteemed co-host back on the line. Tandria Bellamy should be joining me here momentarily. I've got a couple resources teed up, ready to share with each of y'all. I want to say hello to Sylvia Judy. She is supply chain royalty in the holy city of Johns Island, Greater Charleston, South Carolina. So Sylvia, hope this finds you well. Hey, Tandria Bellamy, how you doing?
I'm great. As we discussed earlier, I am having technology challenges, but I think we're okay now.
Hey, you know what? It's been, there's something in the water. We had some issues last week. We all had some unrelated issues, but related to PC this morning. So, hey, it's Murphy's Law, but it's great to have you here. And I really enjoyed, as we were talking pre-show, I enjoyed hearing more about your trip to New Orleans over the weekend. That was a great trip, I hear, huh?
Absolutely. First of all, just reconnecting with my fellow alumni from Stanford University was phenomenal. Go Cardinal. And then the city is just amazing. It's so full of life, so full of energy, so full of food and other things that we won't go into right now. But yes, it was a great time.
There is, well said, there's a zest for living in the city of New Orleans. Just the art and the history and the food and the people. I'm with you. So I look forward to returning. We've been there a couple times, Tandria. So I was really jealous when you told me where you were going last weekend. All right. So we've got three resources we're going to share in just a second. I want to say hello to a few folks. Tandria, we got a full house. Hey, Professor Mohib, I missed you on my trip last week. He said he just arrived on time for the buzz. Great to see you, Professor Mohib. We will see you soon in person, I hope. Haley, tuned in from South Africa via LinkedIn. Great to see you. Maria's back from Madrid, Spain via LinkedIn. Great to see you as always, Maria and Tandria, the one and only Leah Luton, my mom in Aiken, South Carolina, is here with us. So hello, mom. Love you. Mean it. And we'll talk soon. All right. So Tandria, before we get in, we got a lot to get into here today. A lot of good stuff to get into. I want to share these promised resources. So Professor Mohib, I wasn't lying. I was in Wichita, Kansas last week. This is me at McConnell Air Force Base, where I served for a couple of years. And Tandria, that is the new Boeing KC-46 Pegasus, which is going to be the new workhorse, core workhorse of our air refueling missions throughout the Air Force.
Okay.
So, but as cool as that was, let me tell you what was really cool, Tandria, and that was being able to meet and hear all the stories from these incredible maintainers that worked on that aircraft and the KC-135, others that have been around, that ladder has been around for decades, and seeing just them reminisce and tell these stories of what popped up and what they had to overcome. Tandra, it was awesome. These maintainers, they don't get enough recognition ever, do they?
Absolutely not. And no matter what type of transportation industry it is, if you don't have the people that keep your vehicles, machinery, planes, trains, and automobiles running, the supply chain really shuts down.
That is right. Well said. I love that. I love the reference to planes, trains, and automobiles too. So I love how you snuck that one in. But kidding aside, it's so true, folks. When you come across maintainers, whether as a consumer or out in supply chain, hey, shake their hands, hear their stories, celebrate what they do, because global supply chains wouldn't happen without them. All right, really quick. David's tuned in via LinkedIn from Liberia. Great to see you. Thanks for being here, David. Gino from North Alabama is back with us. Gino, hope this finds you well. Mahanraj, via LinkedIn, let us know where you're tuned in from. Great to see you here today. And T-Squared from Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be back with us. Mo Nourishment, as T-Squared likes to say, Tandria. All right. So let's see here. Where was I going with all that? Well, simple. With that said, is our weekly newsletter, almost weekly newsletter. And in the newsletter this week, I shared a little bit about my trip to Wichita for the first time in over 20 years. We also covered some news, some other perspectives, upcoming live events, and Tandria. One last nugget from With That Said. We included this story here because the White House is giving 80% of the credit for the slowdown inflation to the supply chain community. Now, I've always known supply chain makes it happen, but dadgum, Tandria,
is phenomenal.
Doesn't it, though? So, folks, check out With That Said and let us know what you think. Also, again, resources, right? Data, factoids. This was from my midweek market rundown last week. We touched on the history of the Fed. Now, that's where the Fight Club analogy comes into play. Now, as I've learned, and I was pulsing our team in the pre-show, I thought Fight Club, I'm a Gen Xer. I thought Fight Club was like, well, everybody saw it and loved the movie. I'm finding out that it's more of a niche film. But to figure out where that plays in, you're going to have to check out my midweek market rundown. I focused on the farming industry a lot with this last one. And we publish these every Wednesday morning on LinkedIn. So check that out. Now, Tandria, I don't think you'd seen Fight Club either. So I felt like I was really in the minority of folks that liked that film, huh?
Well, I'm going to have to now watch it just because.
Okay. Oh, no, that came out, I want to say like 94 or 95, maybe 96. Who knows? I'm getting my dates wrong. But
hey, I'm going to watch it because Amanda also endorsed it.
Ah, there you go. That's right. And she's our bona fide Hollywood critic, not me. All right. So, folks, y'all check out the midweek market rundown. And then finally, before we get into five stories here today, this was a very special episode that Tandria and I conducted together. Now, we've been talking about this for years, Tandria, right?
Yes, we have.
Anthony Bellamy, trainee pilot up at
Middle Tennessee State University.
Thank you very much. I almost got my acronyms flipped up there, but Middle Tennessee State University. He's set to graduate just around the corner. And it was so cool for us to do this in person, but me and you sit down and interview him a bit and kind of learn how he views this journey he's on. Your thoughts, Tandria?
Number one, I'm very appreciative that you were patient because he wanted to do it live. We had talked about it and doing it virtual, and he wanted to be in studio and put on the headset, and it was great. It made me really start viewing him as an adult. And so that was my biggest takeaway, hearing his thoughts on things. Seeing him just radiate.
Yes.
Him talk about what type of employer he was looking for. Again, it was a great episode. When you start talking about Generation Now, I think there were a lot of insights that people can glean from. So, yeah,
that's
it
right.
Was a great time and very enlightening for me.
Well, we're going to, and that makes two of us, all that times two. And really, it was a highlight. I guess we recorded that at near the end of last year. Does that sound about right, Tandria?
Yep, it was in December when he was home for the winter break.
Right. So that was definitely one of my highlights from last year. And we look forward to doing it again. But folks, don't make assumptions about what students what they can do, what they want to do. I'm telling you, this was an eye opener and it was a pleasure to be part of. So Tandria, looking forward to doing that again soon. All right. So we're dropping links to all this stuff, folks, in the chat. So you are one click away from checking this out. Hey, T Squared, he is hoping for nourishment in particular on reverse logistics and lean. Well, we might can fit those topics in some way, shape, or form today. We'll see. Automation is going to be big. Workforce is going to be big today. Chip making is going to be big today. So stay tuned. Stay tuned. Let's see here. Nadim, I want to get his comment in here. Nadim says he does not agree with what the White House said. Hey, that's okay. Different strokes, different folks. I love how we can all agree and disagree and talk about it. A lot of folks probably may not agree with that assertion, but regardless, great to have you here. And Mohib, yes. I got some pictures. I got some videos. We'll get together. I'll share. Things have changed a good bit in the over 20 years since I've been back at Wichita. Okay. So we're going to get into our first story, Tandria. You ready to go? Buckled up? Ready to go?
Let's go.
All right. So in our first story here today, we're going to be talking about this read from the Wall Street Journal. So Wall Street Journal reports on one company that is trying to work through the impact that the Red Sea commercial shipping attacks continue to cause, right? Many companies are working through these challenges and trying to find a better way. Shipping costs, lead times are, of course, up for many due to continued attacks and havoc in this vital sea lane. More than 50 ships have been attacked since November, causing, sadly, three fatalities and a couple of sunk vessels thus far. Now, for St. Louis-based Build-A-Bear, don't say that too fast, St. Louis-based Build-A-Bear, a toy retailer, the last thing they want to do, like many, is raise prices on their products. Like other companies, Build-A-Bear is looking to reroute its shipments around the Red Sea and possibly leveraging air freight, as well as looking for efficiencies elsewhere across the enterprise, all as they attempt to not squeeze consumers that have been battling inflation for years. Now, back to the Red Sea attacks themselves. Tandria, I read a really interesting BBC piece from a week or so ago that really offered some interesting context. A captain in the U.S. Navy was being interviewed, and he, this captain, was leading four destroyers that was protecting the Dwight D. Eisenhower carrier battle group. And he said in this piece, quote, "This is the most since World War II," end quote, in terms of daily attacks on a carrier battle group, which is, of course, seeking to provide protection in the area. And that really puts it into context, right? Mm-hmm. So, Tandria, your thoughts on what companies are trying to fight through and solve here.
You know, you just talked about the supply chain helping to reduce inflation. Things like this definitely can go and drive inflation again.
That's right.
When you look at the Suez Canal, Port Watch from the International Monetary Fund is a report, and it said that the transit, the shipping through the Suez Canal is down 50% for the first 2 months of this year, year over year.
Wow.
When you talk about using air to mitigate, that's a significant cost differential. If they have to transit now around the Cape of Good Hope, you're looking at an additional 10 to 14 days to make the same trip. So that's costing time and money. So these are things that from a worldview, you have to be aware of. So when you're doing contingency planning, it's almost impossible to take everything into account, but you have to have a worldview, even if you're shipping teddy bears.
Yes, so true, Tandria. And just the sheer complexity of what, this is not the Middle East conflicts of years past. The sheer complexity of the attacks between drones and not as smart weaponry, kind of the dumb bombs. I mean, it is amazing what's being thrown at the commercial vessels as well as the military that's trying to tamp things down. So we're going to keep our fingers crossed because I think we all would appreciate cooler heads prevail, less violence, yes, and across the Middle East. So speaking of, Zohaib. Hey, help me out. Sometimes I get my kids' names wrong. I apologize if I got your name wrong, but you're tuned in from Kuwait City in the country of Kuwait. Great to see you via LinkedIn. Let us know your take as well. Okay. So Tandria, that was just the first of five items we're going to tackle here today. I'm going to pop up this second one because, folks, if you think that challenges from the chip making standpoint have been solved and are going away, I got some news for you. So moving over to the computer chip industry, where there's still plenty of demand for the latest and greatest semiconductor chips there. Great read here via CNN Business. So as many of y'all know, TSMC is based in Taiwan, and it makes what is thought to be, estimated-wise, 90% of the world's most advanced semiconductors. Its customers, of course, include Apple, NVIDIA, AMD, and plenty others. The company is building new fabs, which is kind of a chip sector term. That means manufacturing plants that make chips. You might also hear foundries when it comes to chip making. But regardless, new fabs, new manufacturing plants in the U.S., Japan, and Germany. Now, in the U.S. alone, TSMC is investing in two $40 billion fabs in Arizona. Goodness gracious, $40 billion. But key to this growth is talent, and especially experienced chip industry workers. So TSMC also built out a new training center in Taiwan that is focused on empowering its hiring and training programs so that it can send its experienced talent out to new sites to help quickly ramp up operations, amongst other things. A shortage of talent, like many companies, Tandria, we hear about this all the time. A shortage of talent is one of TSMC's main challenges, which makes sense when you consider, get this, it plans to grow its team from 77,000, which is how big its army is at present, global talent base, to over 100,000 employees globally in just a couple of years. Now, of course, access to cutting-edge technology is also a big geopolitical issue, but doubly so in this story. As many of y'all know, the high-stakes pressure and gamesmanship that's been taking place between China and Taiwan in recent years. Now, one last note. Now, I know Tandria knows this because we've talked about it, but Moore's Law, right? They reference Moore's Law in this article, and you'll hear that a lot in technology. It dates back to way back in 1965, where Intel co-founder Gordon Moore coined it, and he had claimed that the number of transistors on an integrated circuit would double every 2 years. Now, there was a ton of truth to that Moore's Law for decades, although some say that Moore's Law is dead now. So, Tandria, your thoughts on the chip making industry, what's going on there, talent, and even Moore's Law, your comments.
You know, you look at the importance of the chip industry, and it's really being driven even more so now with all of the AI, the generative artificial intelligence. You're going to need to see, so these super chips. At the core of this article, it comes down to two things, people and training. And you think about how often companies that are looking to cut expense will cut training.
Right.
There's training and the ability of having talent to train is what is going to drive this industry. Another thing that was, I guess, concerning with the article, 90% of the chips are made in one country.
Right.
Why? Why is that? How has no one else cracked that code with the unbelievable amount of technologically advanced people that they are around the world? The other thing that stood out in the article is this almost culture war between the Taiwanese work culture versus US and Germany. And even though they're trying to train additional people, they're having some concerns with the cultural conflicts that are coming up. Again, we have an industry that is vital to pretty much the world's economy that's being controlled by one country, and they're having a difficulty even training additional people because of cultural conflicts. People and training are driving one of the most important industries that we have in the world right now. Yeah. So there's a lot of things to unpack in that article.
And, agreed.
Yes. And
cracking the whole series.
Absolutely. get on some other people with the expertise to talk about how do we change this moving forward.
Right.
You know, again, the need for chips is not going away. The need for people, but how do you get, just say the U.S.,
right,
involved in the production of this vital element?
That's right. Because the risk, the demand's not going away,
no,
but the risk is ramping up by the day. So I'll be really curious as they look to, you know, send their talent and their team around the world, these various new fab locations and get production ramped up. Of course, in Taiwan, you might have seen this as well. In Taiwan, the local government wants to make sure that they don't offshore too much of that production because they, you know, of course, there's all sorts of different stakeholders in this equation. I thought that was interesting, but I want to call something out that you mentioned, Tandria, because I think oftentimes this can get lost in the shuffle, not so much to all of our supply chain practitioners that are tuned in to part of our audience, because they get it. Many of them are, due to the nature of their role, they're working internationally, but culturally and different management styles and philosophies. You know, I thought that was a great call out in this article as Taiwan looks to stand up these sites at different places around the globe and the adjustments they'll have to make. They said that they'll be making when it comes to managing in different parts of the world. Tandria, I thought that was a great call out that you mentioned.
Thank you. And again, something that's often not taken into account.
Right. So true. All right. So, folks, we dropped the link to this article right there. You're one click away. Take a look. Let us know what you think, or maybe some other aspect of the chip making industry you might be tracking. And we also dropped the first one related to the Red Sea and that one company's plan to get around the challenges that's being posed, build a bear. All right. So let's move into the third item. So Tandria, manufacturing. So when we think about manufacturing, I always think about how many the sheer opportunity in general, because I love the industry, spend a bunch of time in the industry and supporting industry, but there's so many roles that have gone unfilled. So really this next story is going to focus a lot more on talent, especially because I liked how Tandria pulled out people and training. In that last story, we're going to talk a lot more about people in this one here. So as reported by Manufacturing Dive, a variety of entities are coming together to drive awareness in manufacturing jobs and careers. And rightly so, because according to the National Association of Manufacturers, there were some 622,000 open jobs in the industry as of January 2024, just a couple months ago. And at least as of 2022 data, which is the most recent I can get my hands on, manufacturing workers averaged about $100,000 in pay and benefits. So it's quite an opportunity. Now, this article pointed out the Community College of Denver's Advanced Manufacturing Center, which exposes high schoolers to a variety of manufacturing jobs and skill sets. We're talking about folks as young as ninth grade. The center also helps to facilitate both internships as well as manufacturing mixers between employers and students. You think those mixers on manufacturing is almost as fun as our mixers on basketball and the brackets and all, Tandria? Close, right?
Close.
So when it comes to the Advanced Manufacturing Center's graduates, get this though, they say that 85% of them are hired within 3 months of graduation. Now, similar efforts to what the Community College of Denver is doing. Similar efforts are underway in Michigan, California. They got stuff here in Georgia, similar to that. Now, there's also, it's important to highlight the special need to get the word out and provide opportunities for underrepresented portions of our population, which the nonprofit, the Diversity Org, focuses on. You can learn more in this read here. Now, as pointed out in this article, and this is a timeless mantra, Tandria, we got to reach students early. That is so key. Your thoughts, though, related to the manufacturing talent pipeline?
You know, what's old is new again. I've said over and over and over, vocational education should not have been taken out of high schools. We have a shortage of welders and HVAC and electricians. And, you know, I've had tradesmen that have come to the house that have said, I really want to train young people. I need somebody to take over my business.
Right.
With them reaching out to the high schoolers, they're giving them hands-on opportunities that they can then take into the future and be very, very self-sufficient from an economic standpoint. You're talking about taking care of a lot of issues that we have currently with, you know, the great disparities that we're starting to have, the losing of the middle class. You're saying $100,000, kids getting hired 3 months after completing a program that they've started in high school. If that's not a revamp of vocational education, I don't know what is.
Right.
So I hope that our education leaders are paying attention to this. 622,000 jobs, 622,000 great opportunities to have not just a job, but a career, because, you know, you're going to keep having advances. And this is very timely article that, again, I hope is getting into the hands of more educators so that we can give these kids opportunities to make a great living wage without having to go to college.
Yes. So well said, Tandria. It's so practical, too. I completely agree with you that we've got to reach these students early. We've got to dispel notions and assumptions that whether they get it from their parents or other folks in their upbringing, you know, manufacturing has changed dramatically.
Yes.
You know, and it's not, if Greg was here, Greg likes saying, it's not the triple D, dirt, dark, dirty, and dungy, elements that it was so much, you know, years and years ago. It's changed dramatically. These foundries, these chip fab locations, we're talking high tech clean rooms, high tech engineering, great jobs, great pay. So I applaud what the Community College of Denver is doing and their Advanced Manufacturing Center. It sounds like to me, Tandria, having more of these manufacturing centers that essentially create this ecosystem that helps to engage and make new talent aware and then train them with jobs and help in the hiring facilitation process. Man, we need one of these advanced manufacturing centers in every state, every big city, maybe, huh?
Every major city, without a doubt, and helping to revamp the high school curriculum so that people go into those centers already understanding a lot about what's going to be needed from just a basic education standpoint.
Yes.
Let's really prepare our kids for their futures.
Yes, that's right. Well said. Professor Mohib says, my 11th grader just got her summer internship offer at Textron. We seem to have aviation blood flying through our veins, right, Scott? Absolutely. Well, you know, Textron has a huge presence there in Wichita, the air capital. Mohib, I'm going to mess this up. The air capital of the world is Wichita, Kansas. I might be messing that tagline, but congrats to your daughter. That is an outstanding opportunity. And he says Textron had 300 plus high schooler interviews. And right next to Textron is Spirit Aerosystems, who also had summer slots. So folks can learn a lot more of these manufacturing skills. I love that, Mohib. Congratulations. That is outstanding. All right. So Tandria, on a related note, that was kind of more manufacturing focused. There we go. Air capital of the world, Wichita, Kansas. Make sure I get that right. I was just in and out of the airport there in air capital of the world. All right. So Tandria, this is going to be really interesting. These next two topics are very related. I'm going to pop back up this graphic here because we're going to shift over to the warehousing and fulfillment sector, right? So from our friends here at DC Velocity, folks, we have a labor gap of 622,000 in manufacturing or thereabouts. We've got a labor gap to close in the warehousing industry as well. So according to a survey of 1,000 industry business leaders that was published last January, 40% of those leaders said workforce shortages in their operations were extreme, but it gets worse because 56% in particular cited the warehouse as one of the areas where it hurt the most. No surprise that many warehousing and fulfillment leaders turned to automation, especially during the pandemic, as the workforce challenges were compounded with extraordinary demand and other challenges. So you got AGVs. We love our acronyms. Many of y'all should know. Automated guided vehicles, AMRs, autonomous mobile robots. Both of these elements and automation tidal wave have been embraced across industry. Now, Statista estimates that the AGV market, those autonomous mobile robots in the U.S. specifically, will grow to over $3 billion by 2027. That's just around the corner. Automation investment has cooled off a bit, with most folks expecting it to increase this year and then really take off again next year. Tandria, I can't wait to hear. I know you've been out, a big part of your career was figuring out this kind of stuff. And of course, you're still advising many companies in this space, and you've got your finger on the pulse of the latest and greatest innovation. Your thoughts when it comes to automation in the warehouse?
It's vital. It's critical. Not only the AMRs and the AGVs, but you know, the ASRSs, the automated storage and retrieval system, the various goods to people technology where you use automation to bring the packages or the product to somebody that's stationary. Everything that you can do to take out non-value added activities is extremely vital.
Yes.
But also, you know, you have some companies that are hesitant to try to deploy automation, thinking that it's difficult to prove the return on investment. But sometimes they're a little bit short-sighted when they're looking at everything that can be saved, not just the reduction in people through the reduction of labor hours. But if you're reducing the amount of people working, you reduce the amount of discretionary time that you have to pay for, whether it's vacations and holidays, you reduce the number of management people and supervisors that you need because you have less people. You improve, in a lot of cases, safety because you have less people there to get hurt. You also are using automation to help with very repetitive tasks, so you tend to get less stress or fatigue injuries, less space, especially if you're talking about deploying ASRSs because you don't need aisles for people to walk up and down. You can go very high in your warehouses, so you can have very, very, very dense storage. And then the improvements that you make from a quality standpoint, you know, you don't have anywhere near as many mispicks because it's being done through the systems. So you're going to get the right product to your clients in the right amount of time. You reduce damage to the products. There's so many things that automation can achieve. And again, as you're going through and doing that return on investment calculation, you really have to figure out all of the costs that are going to be saved as you're weighing it up against the investment. And I think sometimes some of those other things are just left out.
Right.
Again, on the space standpoint, think about how much floor space you can reduce if you're using some of these things. So now you can even look at savings in real estate costs. So again, the savings that are there that have to fully be captured are really, really far and wide. But then again, when you look at the labor shortages, with everybody trying to speed up the time for the product to get into the hands of their clients, their customers, you think about that Amazon Prime effect where everybody wants it right now.
Right.
When you don't have to use people on those second and third shifts, you know, you can mitigate pay differentials for overnight work. The amount of savings that are possible using automation are really, really vast. So I think automation is here to stay. And we can't look at this as automation is going to take people's jobs because we don't have enough people for the jobs as it is.
That's right. And man, excellent. I've got about a 12-point checklist from your last segment there, Tandria. I love it. you know, I think kind of where you wrapped on back to the people, one of my favorite parts about automation and this technology age we're in is how it makes the people that we do have in our companies so much more successful. You know, we were just talking, Tandria, last week about auditing freight invoices, right? And we were talking about how manual that can be. And the business leader that joined us from a company that they couldn't throw enough people at manually auditing freight invoices. And let's face it, as our audience talked about, it is a very painful, not fun, non-rewarding thing to do, right? Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. The technology from our friends at RateLinx came in, they eliminated, they took that first pass yield to 98%. And most importantly, as cool as that is, it freed up their people to do fulfilling, rewarding work that wasn't pencil whipping, you know, invoices. Yes. Tandri, when I think of automation and technology and how it we're really not only overcoming the labor gap we have, to your point, but how we're really empowering our people to work smarter with that's more fulfilling and rewarding. That's one of the best parts of the story here in 2024, in my ears at least. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, not only, and again, going back to the people, if you can take away those tasks that people really hate, you're going to improve your retention, which means there's less people that you have to hire. There's less training that you have to do.
Yes.
And as we heard from my son, he wants to be happy at his workplace. So again, this is one of those ways of just improving the quality of the work life.
Yes.
For your team members.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And you know what? By the way, folks, Middle Tennessee State University, check it out. If you're into aviation, I'm a big airplane nerd. They're a world-class program up there. And as Anthony is a wonderful ambassador for it, as he's going to be flying planes for years and years to come, folks, check it out. Middle Tennessee State University. And to your other point, Tandria, people want to be happy. If we can, to what you said, I love it. If you can eliminate what folks hate to do, everybody's going to be better off. All right, we got some comments here as well. Let's see here. Nadim talks about how automation is booming in the Middle East too. I've heard that. I connected with my dear friend Kim Winter, who's based in Dubai. So Nadim, I've heard a lot about that. Sylvia points out, you know, using automation to drive increase in productivity, lost time due to less injuries, and greater purpose, especially when it comes to internal customer experience. Excellent point there, Sylvia. Excellent point. Mohib says he went to Phoenix, Arizona a couple months ago. They have no shortage of real estate or big and small cactuses to welcome you or the factories. I love that picture you paint there. And then going back also to what we were talking about a second ago, that last story, T-Squared says, hey, we got to plant the seed for vocational tech careers in order to meet the need. If there's no desire, no want for those careers, the deficit will never really be met. Yeah, I agree, T-Squared. And I think, Tandria, you and I both strongly believe that we've got to invest in more of that vo-tech programming in our schools, right?
Yes.
And hey, Scott points out it's still not reaching as many students as it needs. Scott, I generally agree with you. We've got to do a lot more work when it comes to reaching kids early before some of their assumptions harden. And I'm a perfect example, Tandria. I've spent a ton of time in, of course, manufacturing, supply chain. I never toured a single plant until after I was out of college and after I was out of the Air Force for that matter, Tandria.
Yes.
That's a problem, isn't it?
It is. It is. You have to have early exposure. And, you know, I mentor quite a bit, and there is nothing to me more disheartening than to talk to a kid. And if they're under 30, they're a kid to me that has gone through and invested 4 or 5 years and a ton of money and a college to get a college degree that they can't do anything with.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need to solve both of those problems. Let's get early exposure, and then let's really work to point people to jobs that they're going to be fulfilled and make a living wage.
That's right. Well said. And I really admire all the mentoring you do. That since the first time we met years and years ago, mentoring was important to you, and not just in lip service, in action, because that's what it's about. So I really admire that, a lot of what you do there in this space there, Tandria. Okay. So Tandria, all of this, we were just talking about, talent from a, warehousing and fulfillment standpoint. In the last story, it was manufacturing. Well, folks, if you'd like all those subjects, then I hope you were at MODEX a couple weeks ago where 40,000 people came out. And folks, if you've never been to MODEX or its sister operation,
ProMat.
Yeah, up in Chicago, you are missing out, because it is what we've deemed it the supply chain circus. All of these booths, they've got the latest and greatest. It's so cool to see all this machinery, all the people. So you get the networking component. You got folks that love supply chain and automation and manufacturing and people in the industry all there enjoying each other's company, trading market intel, best practices. Although, Tandria, before I get your key takeaways from MODEX, I read over the weekend that we got to stop saying best practices, because it implies that what we have been doing is best. So we got to drop best from best practices. What's your take on that, Tandria? That was kind of my take. I'm like, I'm not declaring that they are the best for the until the year 2500, right? But they're proven, I guess, is maybe what I should start saying. But Tandria, that was kind of my response too, my friend. Okay, so MODEX, 40,000 people, probably, I don't know, thousands of exhibitors. They had the Innovation Awards, which I think, Tandria, you were a big part of. So what, in your view, your two or three favorite takeaways from MODEX this year?
How much the industry just continues to grow and the advances that are being made. You know, we just talked about automation. Seeing so many scalable technologies is just tremendous. You don't have to go out and outfit an entire warehouse and deploy millions of dollars before you know if that's the correct product for you. Now seeing where you can have scalable technologies, let's start out, let's prove a concept. When it works, we just can continue to build on. That's great. The education component of MODEX, there were several keynote speakers, there were several seminars, there were workshops, there were just great places to network. So not only can you see the new technologies that are coming out, but there were several workshops where you could discuss, how do you deploy these? How do you determine what's the best technologies for your particular problem set? But then just the vendors, the number of vendors that you could go and talk to get a deep dive into what their product is, and then all kinds of information to take away. When you're just looking to dive in to say automation, you really don't know what you don't know. A lot of times you don't know where to start.
Right.
Spending 2 or 3 days walking around MODEX where you can see, because most of them had very good prototypes where you could see the product in action, of course, at a smaller scale, but just to get to know what's out there was great. And there were several technologies that were very similar. So being able to see them, again, talk, find out your own pros and cons without trying to do it on the internet, I think is just great. And then the interaction and the networking component. You know, there's a lot of people out there with a lot of knowledge. Being able to make contacts, being able to have, you know, resources to reach out to ask questions as you move forward. We don't have enough time to talk about how really impactful MODEX and of course ProMat are.
I agree. And kind of in general, the information exchange. Now that's a lot of different components to that information that's exchanged, but it is it's one of my favorite parts. And I really am glad and grateful and thankful and whatever else in my vocabulary to show my appreciation that in-person events are finally back in force. I mean, they had been, but Tandria, I mean, I think if I read this right from the team over at MHI and the wrap, one of the wrap-up emails, this set a record in terms of at least registration for MODEX in Atlanta a couple weeks ago. Did you see that as well?
I did. And all three halls of the Atlanta Convention Center were packed.
Yes.
Not only packed with vendors, I think it was over, not necessarily vendors, but I think there were over 1,200 exhibits.
Yep.
Yes. It was really, really well done. Really well done. So hats off and kudos and applause to MHI for continuing to bring the world's largest supply chain conference each year.
That's right. And man, I can only imagine how difficult of a job to plan and execute that.
Yes.
We've done some events together, not nearly that scale. And those are hard enough. Goodness gracious. The army that comes out to MODEX and ProMat. So yeah, kudos to the MHI team. And Nadim, hey, he's talked about he's got an event coming up in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. Hey, let us know. You got a link for it? Drop it in the chat. Love to learn more. It's been great to have you here today. Scott says, my kids love how things are made videos. Scott, I agree with you. I watch it all the time. Little 30-minute segments. It's very practical. It's not about crazy TV personalities. It's all about the process. And you watching how stuff is made. I love it as well. And also, Scott, you mentioned freight bill audits taught you a lot in your job. I agree. And I'm not saying that that there's no positives that come out of that. But I guess what I am saying, Tandria, is there was a project I was given one time when I was in manufacturing, and it dealt with highly manual traceability for some bad parts that we were having to quarantine. And I will be optimistic and say, hey, I learned some things from that project, but also will keep it real and say, I hope I never have to do that again. So yeah, but Scott, I hear you. And I think I go back to the point Tandria made. If we can train people up, give them lots of opportunities to raise their hand and learn more about leadership and management and supply chain, let's keep doing that. But if we can do what Tandria said and get rid of the things that folks hate to do, man, let's get our cake and eat it too. All right. So Tandria, man. You blink and we're at almost the end of our time here. All right. So we've got our bracket busters. Next week, I'm going to give an update on our internal bracket busters. I'll tell you what, Tandria, our fearless controller, Vicky White, sat atop the rankings as I glanced this morning.
I'm doing much better on my women's bracket than the men's bracket.
Yeah, well, you know what? We're going to do both next year. That was an oversight on my part. But are you top three on the women's side, Tandria? Are you leading?
Well, I did it through CBS Sports, so there's millions of people in.
But, all right, yes, so your brackets are just better. you know, I've got a massive oversight on my end. So, folks, I'm gonna take us back, Tandria, to the front end of our time here today. And we were talking about the maintenance professionals out there, and that, as that was one big important segment of global supply chain, right? So let's wrap with that message, because we've got a day set aside. Our fearless founder for National Supply Chain Day, Mary Kate Love, Tandria and I, we're both getting the word out at MODEX about this. National Supply Chain Day, April 29th. Mary Kate Love identified there's a need for this a couple of years ago. Who'd have thunk? We didn't have one. National Supply Chain Day. Well, she founded it. She set it aside, made it official. Supply Chain Now team is working with her to invest in that day and truly amplify, especially the people that make industry happen. So our team, big thanks to Amanda Catherine behind the scenes today. If you'll drop the link to National Supply Chain Day so folks can learn how they can plug in and be a part. And Tandria, one of the simple ways that I love. I love when we can keep things simple but powerful, right? Is we're asking our audience, no matter where they are, to send in pictures or videos of what they and their team do to make supply chain happen. That's simple. And we want to use that to uplift and amplify the industry. Your thoughts there, Tandria, on National Supply Chain Day?
You know, much like you, I was very surprised that it didn't exist. And as I went around MODEX and talked to people, it was all the same thing. Wow. We've got a day for donuts and didn't have a day for supply chain. So I think it's great getting people, getting the word out, you know, hashtag supply chain day or however our hashtag is, so that everybody can amplify the day and get more visibility for themselves in the process.
That's right. Well said. All right, folks, we're dropping this link in the chat. So folks that are watching us, you can see this. And folks that are listening to maybe to the replay or the live session here today, it's easy. SupplyChainNow.com/NSCD, because y'all know we love our acronyms. NSCD for National Supply Chain Day. It's just that easy. And it's easy to participate. Click that link. Submit pictures or video of what supply chain means to you. We want to celebrate what you do out there. And we've got a special live stream event coming up on the day of, which is going to be April 29th, every single stinking year, Tandria Bellamy. All right. So Tandria, man, you know, you've been with us. You're like in the top of the rankings in terms of all-time appearances here at Supply Chain Now, right? We were talking about that pre-show, but this is your first time officially as a co-host, right? Part of the core team, I'll call it. And this is your first time on The Buzz, and you hit it out of the park just as we expected, just as your agent promised that you would, Tandria.
Well, thank you very much, Scott. We always have a good time collaborating. So I love it when we can have fun with a purpose.
Oh, fun with a purpose. New tagline, new t-shirtism. Okay, so Tandria, you're still so deeply, you know, over three decades with a big time supply chain brand out there. But as you've shifted gears, mentoring, you're on boards, you're giving back to industry. I think I can say you're doing some consulting, which of course you are, because you've got all this stuff between your ears that more folks need to know. How can folks connect with you and lean into any of that mission that you're on now?
You know, the best way, Scott, is through LinkedIn. It's Tandria Bellamy, and I'm really active on LinkedIn. Would love to connect. Have no problem with the messaging. And so, yeah, that's definitely the best way to connect with me personally.
Love that, Tandria. So, y'all do that. Make sure you connect with her, especially on LinkedIn and follow her on LinkedIn. I love the leadership perspective you drop in there regularly, Tandria. All right, folks. Welcome with, join me if you would, in welcoming Tandria Bellamy. You're going to find her here a lot, whether it's The Buzz or plenty of other conversations, and make sure you connect with her. We've dropped her LinkedIn right there in the chat, so it's easy to find. And again, we've also dropped the landing page for supplychainnow.com/NSCD, one click away from learning more information there. Okay, Tandria, a pleasure to knock out The Buzz with you here today.
As always, it's a pleasure to connect with you, Scott.
And have fun with a purpose. New tagline, Tandria Bellamy. Folks, hope you enjoy. I know we couldn't hit everybody's comment and question. It was so nice to have folks from around the world here on The Buzz, as always. Here's the challenge, though. Here's the challenge. Take one bit of brilliance. Tandria brought a whole truckload here today. Take one item and put it into practice. Your organization will appreciate it. Your team will appreciate it. It's all about deeds, not words. Ain't no one got time for lip service leadership. And with that said, on behalf of the entire team here at Supply Chain Now, Scott Luton challenging you to do good, to give forward, and to be the change that's needed. And we'll see you next time right back here at Supply Chain Now. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for being a part of our Supply Chain Now community. Check out all of our programming at supplychainnow.com and make sure you subscribe to Supply Chain Now anywhere you listen to podcasts. And follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. See you next time on Supply Chain Now.